Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Gujarat Chemist Biosciences Limited's Q2 and half-year FY24 earnings conference call. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not a guarantee of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Dr. Sachin Patel, Director, Gujarat Chemist Biosciences Limited, for his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Patel.
Thanks very much. Good afternoon, everyone. I would like to wish you all a very warm welcome to Gujarat Chemist Biosciences earnings conference call for the second quarter and 6 months ended 30th September 2023. I would like to begin by expressing my gratitude to all of you for taking the time to join us today. We have with us on call today Mr. Tushar Dalal, Group CFO, and Adfactors, our investor relations team. Before we get into the business and financial performance, I would like to briefly share the recent developments and our strategic focus areas. Our production levels were maintained at optimal capacities during the quarter in discussion. However, in the previous quarter, we had sales from unsold built-up inventory from the quarter before that, which had led to higher sales. Since the impact of built-up inventory normalized this quarter, therefore turnover appears lower than before. However, demand for both our products continues to be strong, based on which we are continuing with current production levels. This quarter witnessed higher growth in production and sale of Repha-S vis-a-vis Repha-O. While the product sales mix helped improve gross margins, higher investments in skilled workforce and R&D costs exerted pressure on the EBITDA margins. Our stated CapEx plan is progressing as planned. We are in the process of obtaining the required approvals towards getting our R&D facility commissioned. The new facility will expedite our product development efforts and help broaden our fermentation-based product portfolio, covering diverse therapy areas. We have also been investing in our talent base to support this. In terms of our forward integration endeavor, the process of commissioning our API block is going on track. We shall explore development of key APIs, which not only leverage our core competencies, but also have a high growth potential. We shall focus on developing rifapentin, since it is more likely to be recommended by the WHO as the preferred treatment for TB over rifampicin. However, rifapentin also has the potential for treatment of latent tuberculosis. We are in advanced stages of development of some more APIs to add to this portfolio. Both our R&D and API block should be commissioned by December 2023. As the last leg of the CapEx plan, construction of additional fermentation capacity is underway and is expected to be ready by 2025. Overall, in terms of the CapEx status, rupees 60 crores is under capital work in progress as of now. As already stated in earlier calls, these new facilities will be compliant with global regulatory norms, enabling us to target export markets in addition to the domestic market. Overall, we believe that with these strategic developments and course of action underway, we are well positioned to leverage our expertise and capitalize on opportunities in the global market. Our vision remains to provide quality healthcare products while generating value for all our stakeholders. Now turning to our financial performance for the second quarter, that is Q2 FY24. We reported 39.65 crores in revenues during the said quarter, vis-a-vis 47.69 crores in the previous corresponding quarter. Change in product sales mix has improved gross margin. However, our EBITDA for the quarter stands at 16.82 crores, decreasing 31% year-on-year, and the EBITDA margin is 42.42%, down by 875 basis points year-on-year. Increased investment in skilled workforce as well as R&D costs impacted EBITDA margins during this period. Our PAT during the quarter is 12.54 crores as against 18.7 crores in the previous corresponding period. The PAT margin stood at 31.63%. The EPS for the quarter is 8.63 per share. Now coming to our half-yearly performance, we reported 89.24 crores in revenues during H1 FY24, a 3.66% decline over the previous fiscal first half. Our EBITDA for the period stood at 40.33 crores, while the EBITDA margin is 45.19%. Our PAT for half year is 30.27 crores as against 36 crores in H1 last year. PAT margin stood at 33.91%. EPS for the year is 20.83. The company furthermore undertook a subdivision of its equity shares, with each share of face value rupees 5 divided into 5 equity shares of face value rupees 1, each effective from 11 October 2023 after all regulatory, statutory and shareholders approval were received. This is all from our side. We can now take questions.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask questions may please press star and 1 on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use only handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Dhruv Bajaj from SmartSync Investment Advisory Services. Please go ahead.
First of all, thank you, sir, for a detailed commentary regarding the performance. So my first question was that you have earlier guided that we are working at full capacity and building up inventory in Q4 to ensure that we can grow our volumes in FY24 till the time new capacity comes up. However, as you have mentioned in the commentary earlier that we have since we earlier got the benefit of inventory in previous quarters, so our growth was not very good in this quarter. So I wanted to know now what will be the guidance for the full year and when can we expect the new capex to start yielding some revenues?
Okay. So first and foremost, in the first quarter of this current year, we were carrying on inventory from the previous quarter or previous two quarters of last year. And similar was the situation last year, whereby we were carrying inventories from the last two quarters. Now, currently the way situation is, the inventory is pretty much regularized. We don't have any carry forward inventory, which means whatever we are producing, we are selling. I can only say, as we see the situation right now, is that the demand is strong and we feel that the capacity utilization is pretty good. So if we were at, let's say, 75-80% capacity utilization, and by capacity utilization, I mean sales, we hope to do better this year, the way we see the demand right now. So that is with regards to the growth and how we see the rest of the year. With regards to the capex coming into place, we should start seeing additional revenues come up in the next financial year from the API block that we have created. As we said, the same is going to be commissioned by December, which means we can take about 6 to 7 months, maybe 8 months after that, from where the exhibit batches would have finished the stability studies and we will be able to sell the same in the market.
Got it, sir. That was very helpful. And so my second question is that how has been the pricing for our products, considering we have seen a sharp drop in the gross profit margins as well? And will the margins for rifapentin be higher than our current ones, considering it is a forward integration initiative?
We definitely expect the margins for rifapentin to be better than where we are right now. No question about it. Otherwise, it would not make commercial sense for us to go up the value chain and make this kind of CapEx. Absolutely, yes. With regards to the gross margins which are there or the overall EBITDA margins which are there, there are two factors which impacted us this quarter. If you see overall two quarters, almost for about the last 2 years, the EBITDA margins have been reasonably good. But two things that affected us this year, more than production costs, et cetera, were, I think, some one-time expenses. At the same time, R&D expenses with more people coming in. And this is going to happen because we will have R&D expenses come up more than what they were before. If we want to grow the business and if we want to increase our top line and increase our product mix. So this is a buy and this is a part and parcel of it, but not to this extent as we have experienced this quarter, because as I said, there were some one-time expenses that we had to make.
Got it, sir. And sir, if I can squeeze in one another question, then I wanted to ask that if my understanding is right, then rifapentin is an API that will be produced by Lupin as well. So earlier, we used to supply them intermediates, which was then used by them to produce the API. So will our forward integration efforts affect our relationship with them? Or like, how are we planning to sell this? Considering earlier, we were dependent on only two customers for our entire sales.
So we don't intend to disturb any of our relationships, and we are planning things accordingly, whereby we are able to fulfill the requirement of all our partners and yet be able to do what we aspire to do in the future. So that is something that we are working on. How we are going to manage to do this is something that we have not put out in the public domain yet.
Okay,
but to answer your question, both the customers are very important for us. We will continue to cater to them, and yet we will also follow our aspirations.
Got it, sir. That helps. Congratulations on a great set and all the best for the future.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Tarun S. from Sanchay Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, Sachin. Good morning. Am I audible?
Hi, Tarun. Yeah, very clearly. Tell me.
Yeah. Firstly, congratulations on a different set of numbers despite the inventory issue that you were facing last time. Also, it is very encouraging that you have acknowledged that you people are going into rifapentin. So, because this is a new announcement, I just wanted to understand the lay of land, as in what is the competitive intensity of this particular API and how much of that is being produced domestically vis-a-vis import is, being fulfilled by import. So if you can help understand what is the domestic consumption of this API and what percentage is being met by imports.
Okay. So rifapentin relatively is a very new kid on the block, because it was only last year that the WHO came out with a guideline stating that rifapentin should be used as a first-line treatment for tuberculosis rather than only latent tuberculosis. And the reason being that use of rifapentin rather than rifampicin reduces the duration of treatment for tuberculosis patients from 6 months to 4 months. So as you can imagine, this is a very recent development. Countries are gearing up to it. WHO is gearing up to it. Other funds are gearing up to it. So while rifapentin has been in the market globally for a very long time, it is very recently that companies have started developing it and are developing it. So that's a bit of a background to the rifapentin story. So we are all preparing for scale large scale manufacturing of rifampicin on behest of this guideline coming out from WHO, where we anticipate, on the basis of the benefit that the patient, tuberculosis patient, has, that the market will shift from rifampicin to rifapentin as time goes by. And we are there to capture whatever we can in lieu of the entire supply chain that we have. So in India, I think the tenders for rifapentin are just floated, some of them about to get finalized, but a lot of them will be finalized in due course of time. So it's all very new for everyone, but I think the important thing is to have those capacities put into place to be able to fulfill the requirement of whatever the demand is, directly or indirectly.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. Based on some understanding, I think Sandoz got a capacity of close to 10 metric tons and Lupin also got close to 20 metric tons. Is that the right understanding, if you can help with?
I don't know what the capacity is for Sandoz or Lupin are for the puppet.
Okay. In that case, just to flip it around, what is the initial capacity that we are looking at?
So we have built a capacity of about 7 to 8 metric tons per month.
Mm-hmm. Okay, something related to that. So domestically, how big this opportunity could be in terms of metric tons?
Very early days to say, because the first bit of tenders that have come out from the Indian government talk about anywhere close to 30 to 40 metric tons of rifapentin for the year, maybe a bit higher.
Mm-hmm.
But we have a long way to go.
And the last question on this line is, if you can help with, you know, is it predominantly being catered with import, or is it that, you know, domestic people are able to meet the requirement?
So one of the conditions for Indian tenders is, as a part of the Make in India project, is that 80% of the products that you are supplying to the government should be made in India.
Mm-hmm.
So it is imperative that whoever wins the tenders and whoever supplies the product to the government, the raw material, which is a major component of the cost of the product, should be produced in India to be qualified for these tenders.
Yeah, that is about India tender business. What about WHO tenders, just in case we are applying for that? I don't think, you know, that would be a prerequisite for global tenders.
So for global tenders, I think they are still supposed to come out. It is still going to take some time, but it will happen during the course of a year or 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Still, our customers, for example, say Lupin, would be pretty much participating into tender because they have already got a volume contract from WHO and Global Fund. So even from their perspective, is it that predominantly the API is being supplied by Indian producers, or is it import play as well?
So I would not be able to comment on all the details of what Lupin does, because as you can imagine, this is their business, and you know, it is something that they would not share with us so openly.
Mm-hmm. Okay, sure. Thank you very much. I'll come back to the queue if I have any follow-up questions. Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Keshav Garg from Counter Cyclical PMS. Please go ahead.
Sir, I'm trying to understand that last year in the call you had mentioned that we were expecting around 25% to 30% growth in FY24 in terms of revenue. So that should translate between 190 to 200 crore top line for the current year. So is that understanding correct, and are we on track to achieving the same?
So what I had mentioned is that if 100% capacity utilization is there, that is where we should grow. And that is what we are looking at, because as I mentioned, as we have mentioned in the investors presentation that we have put up, and as I mentioned in my opening remarks, essentially we are selling whatever we are producing now. So we don't have any backlog of inventory left, which means if the same trend continues over the next two quarters, we should arrive at those kind of numbers. And what we can say right now is that the demand is looking pretty strong.
So, but like last quarter, second quarter, we did 40 crore top line and we produced and sold our full capacity. So by going by 40 crore quarterly top line, we will reach somewhere around 160 crore on annualized basis without any movement in change in inventory. So, I mean, that's still...
No, that's not the correct number, right? Because we are at about 90 right now.
So, but in first quarter, we had some past inventory which we sold, but in the second quarter, it's a steady state.
So, you might as well take the second quarter numbers, right?
Right. So 40 crore, if we annualize it, so it gives us 160 crore revenue and not 200. It's not closer to 200. So we need to reach somewhere around 50 crore top line to reach 200 crore annualized revenues. So are we on track for that?
No, not, no, we are, no, no, it will not happen this year. The capacity, as we mentioned, is what we are using right now.
Right. So basically, 40 crore per quarter is our optimal capacity, and we are already operating at the same. So we should expect the same trend going forward until
Maybe a little bit, yeah, maybe a little bit up or down, you'll see. But yes, on the whole, you are right.
Sir, so basically, for the next, till the middle of next financial year, when our new API block revenues start coming in, we should expect the same, broadly the same quarterly top line of around 40 crore. Is that understanding correct?
Yes. Roundabout, yes.
Sir, and what kind of jump can we see by, let's say, 3-4 quarters down the line once the API revenues kick in? So what kind of delta can we see in the quarterly run rate?
I don't think that we are going to go out and give those statements right now. We can only say that our API block is beginning in December, because as I explained in the previous answer that I gave, one of the key products that we are going to be working on is Rifapentin. And it's a new kid on the block. The upside is massive. The pricing is extremely interesting right now. So the numbers could be significantly different from what we are seeing right now, but it all depends upon how Rifapentin as a product picks up. While I said that, I also mentioned what is the scenario with the Indian government in terms of tenders and what is happening globally, where everyone has moved to Rifapentin. So I can only say that Rifapentin is looking quite interesting. Now, how much we are going to sell once our API plant starts, I think it's something that would really be a forward-looking statement.
Sure, sir. And so lastly, sir, there was an announcement that we are working with Themis Medicare's API division for some joint work or some sharing of infrastructure and sponsors. So if you could shed some light that what exactly are the.
So the two sites are next to each other, and maybe some analytical services, etc., are shared between the two. And because it is a related party transaction, we had to put a kind of approval process in place that, you know, this amount of money could be spent on either side for using each other's infrastructure. So it was on account of that and nothing else.
So can the revenues from that infrastructure sharing, etc., can it be significant? Like,
no, it's less than 5 lakh rupees. It's less than 5 lakh rupees.
Okay.
So it's insignificant, but it's a related party transaction just to be compliant and good governance.
Sure, sir. Sir, I got that. Thank you very much and best of luck.
Thanks, thanks, thanks very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nirvana Laha, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, Dr. Patel. Thank you so much.
Hi.
For this opportunity. So my questions are more, you know, towards understanding the relationships that you enjoy with some of your most important customers. So a few years back, you changed your model from a contract-based model to a more market-based pricing. This has led to significant expansion in your EBITDA margin. But your customer at the other end, I'm just trying to understand that this must have also had an impact on, you know, their sourcing price and therefore their ability to compete in the market by procuring, you know, intermediates from you. But the relationship seems to have remained intact and is going as strong as ever, judging by your commentary and also by the numbers. So can you help us understand what is the relationship to stay intact even after such a big change?
Sorry, I missed one particular one. Did you say what has made sure that the relationship is intact even after such a big change?
Yeah, even after such a big change in terms of your pricing towards them.
I think we went away from that model, moved to this model. So this is, first of all, it's quite a it's quite an old story, but nevertheless, it remains intact because we still work on a win-win relationship. It's not that we are looking at taking advantage of the whole scenario, or we are being opportunistic in our business. We are working with all our partners, whereby we can maintain this kind of a relationship over the long term. So that is the only reason why any relationship like this would continue, right?
Right. Doctor, if you could help us understand the win from your customer's perspective, because that is something you're not able to understand. So unless there's something
that is something that you should ask my customers, because I feel it's a win-win on both the sides, and anything more detailed than that would be very strategic in nature.
Okay.
And confidential, if I may say so.
All right. So my next question is that if we look at your customer, I'm naming the customer, if you look at Lupin, there are competitors for Lupin from India now who have announced that they are backward integrating into, say, Repair under PLI. My question is, will this not put Lupin also under pressure to compete on costs with them? And we understand that they are also capable of manufacturing DeFi, but we are right now supplying to them. So how do you see this evolving? Is it likely to affect our relationship in the future?
I don't think so. I think everyone, as you rightly said, the announcement was made some time ago. It's not a recent announcement, right? So I think everyone has prepared themselves for whatever has to be done in the future to make sure that they have their business secure. It's not just us or our partners or someone else who's in the market. Everyone would take care, because the investments that are required in this kind of a project are quite significant. So unless you have certain surety of business, you would not embark upon something like this. So I think they're not overly concerned about any new production facility coming up in India.
Okay. And would you be able to confirm if the announced capacity has actually started producing and supplying or not, as far as you know?
No, I don't want to comment on what anyone else is doing.
Okay, and last question from my side, Dr. Patel, is with respect to China. Now, you've addressed this before, but just trying to understand what are the dynamics with respect to exports from China for our right now. And do you think that it is possible that there is a shift towards sourcing from China for, say, global contracts, etc.? Because for India, you've explained. But do you think that remains a threat, or have we gone beyond that and that is no longer relevant?
I think it is always relevant. I think any other producer across borders producing the same product and competing with you is always a possibility. But as I've said in the past, you know, the market is only so much. Whoever enters into the market and is disruptive should do it for a good reason, and that good reason hopefully is profitability. So we'll have to wait and watch what is happening. But I think we are reasonably okay with our planning and our strategy, and hence the commitment towards the CapEx that we are doing.
Okay. All right, Dr. Patel. Thank you so much. I'll go back in the queue.
Thanks.
Thank you. Participants, to ask questions, you may please press star and one. We'll take the next question from the line of Saloni Himnani from Molecule Ventures. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Am I audible?
Yeah, but the voice is not very clear.
Yes, it's muffled, ma'am. I would request you to use your handset, please.
One second. Hello?
Yes, ma'am. Please continue.
Yes. Hi, sir. I just had two questions regarding the CapEx. So if I calculate, in FY22, we did 14 crores. In 23, we did 24. And in the last 6 months, we did 41 crores. That equals to around 78 crores spent in the last 2.5 years, which was around 80 crores of phase one CapEx. So are we through the phase one CapEx, or do we require some more till the plant gets commissioned in December?
We may require a little bit more. I'm not, very frankly speaking, very sure of how much exactly is required. Unfortunately, Mr. Rajneesh Anand was also supposed to join this particular call, but for unfortunate reasons, he has to be occupied elsewhere. But we are, it's not going to be a very significant amount, which is now going to be required, if any, to commission the last month, which is there.
Okay.
So I don't think we are going to go, there's any significant overrun to what we had budgeted in the past.
Okay. And sir, in the PPT that you've mentioned, we have mentioned FY24 to be the timeline, but we are sticking to our original December, right?
Yes, it is.
And in the next 6 months, you're assuming that the trial will get started and commercialization will happen.
That's right.
Okay. Sir, any revision in the earlier 200 crore capacity expansion amount due to the new areas that we are thinking of exploring and developing in terms of new products that you mentioned?
Yes, we are currently working on it. The initial plan was about 200 odd crores. On the basis of some of the new projects that we are working on, we are thinking about this might increase significantly upwards. But it's something that is not finalized yet. Once it's finalized, we will come back and report on this thing. It is work in progress.
You mentioned significantly upwards. A ballpark figure or any range would also help, if that's okay.
At least double.
If not more.
So it's something that we are working on, but not finalized, as I said.
Okay. All right. Okay, sir. And sir, regarding the volumes that you mentioned, we will be selling what we are producing. So am I right in that sense that there will be no particular unsold inventory related profitability that would basically come in the next quarters or the next year, which we did in the last quarter and last year as well?
I can tell you only how the demand is looking right now, and that is looking pretty good. Now, you know, if this changes tomorrow, we don't know, but right now we're looking pretty solid.
Okay. Sir, apart from the two factors that you said that impacted our margins, one was R&D. So we've hired more people, and that's why the cost of hiring has gone up. With the R&D, you meant that, right?
Yes, hiring, and also some, you know, when you are developing a product, there is a certain stage at which significantly higher investments are required. So I think that we went through one of those stages. And secondly, we also had some one-off expenses that we had that were accounted for. So that was the main reason.
Okay. And one-time expenses, these are the two reasons that impacted our EBITDA margins, correct?
That's right.
Okay, makes sense, sir. Sir, just one last question on the potential numbers that can come once our CAPEX is done. So from this phase one, when this gets completed, any idea on the top line that could be contributed from this API? And in this API, are we doing just rifapentin or the rifampicin, or what are the details in the product?
So we are doing half a dozen APIs, but rifapentin is the one that will be the biggest volume-based API that we are looking at, merely because of the price of the products and the quantum that we are anticipating. But of course, there are other APIs also that are ready for technology transfer once the API block is up. But in terms of revenues that we will generate from there, no, we are not making any speculations on that as yet.
Okay, sir. So that's it from my side, sir. Thank you so much, and all the best.
Thank you.
You may please press star and one to ask questions. The next question is from the line of Nirvana Laha, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you so much for entertaining me again. Dr. Patel, one question on, you mentioned that you are seeing that WHO is pushing for rifapentin because the treatment duration is lower. So if we look at the dosages required for rifapentin, the grammage needed through the course, which now will probably become 1 month or weekly once, etc. the rifapentine consumption by the patient is dropping significantly compared to the rifampicin consumption that used to happen under the earlier dosages. Now, even with the yields that are poorer for RIFA-S to produce rifapentine, that would mean that our sales to our customer for rifapentine sales, say suppose rifapentine is replacing rifampicin, our sales of intermediates to them should go down significantly for the same kind of volume, right? Is that understanding correct?
I don't think so. I think, and I could be mistaken over here. We will also double check. Maybe you can do the same. But we understand that although the treatment duration has come down, the amount of rifampicin which is required for the 4 months is higher than the amount of rifampicin which is required for 6 months. But I could be mistaken. I'll double check also on this, but perhaps you could also. Okay. And we don't. And there are multiple areas where, or reasons why we feel that, you know, the volumes of the intermediate that we are producing would not come down, because you also have another molecule over here, rifaximin, which is going to go off patent in certain countries in a few years, and then of course in the US also when it does. So when it goes off patent, the volume should increase significantly.
Okay, understood. Doctor, if I can request something, so whatever document I was able to access, I've done some calculations basis that. If I can write to you in some way, and if somebody from your team could respond to clarify that, would be great.
Sure.
Okay, thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you. Participants, you may please press star and then one to ask questions. We'll take the next question from the line of Dhruv Bajaj from SmartSync Investment Advisory Services. Please go ahead.
So thank you so much for giving me an opportunity for a follow-up question. So I had two questions basically. So first is, are we getting any PLI or any other form of government benefits for the new CAPEX that we're doing, considering the government is very gung-ho on fermentation-based facilities in India?
We are not getting any PLIs, but there are incentives which are there by the local government, by the Gujarat government, for this particular space of work, which we are most definitely claiming.
Got it, sir. Can we quantify it by any way?
Yeah, I think there is some quantification possible. I don't know personally about it, but our team will be happy to share it.
Okay, sir. And then my second question was that...
Yeah. So go ahead, please.
Yeah. So if you can share the number, then that is fine. Or if you want to take it later, then that's also okay.
So they will also have to refer back to the people who are managing this. So we will be able to share the numbers at a later date.
Okay, sure. No issue, sir. And my second question is, based on our filing with Pollution Control Board, so we are falling into two new chemicals, that is vancomycin HSCI and daptomycin. So can you give the idea regarding the potential of this product and the competitive intensity, since Concord Biotech is also going into that particular molecule?
I think they are already there in those products. So, you know, the pollution control application which has been filed is a very comprehensive one. It is not necessary that we'll be producing the same products or all of them. There is a general approval which is received, and then under the regulations, one can file for product change, depending upon what you really want to produce. So that was, at that particular time, those were the plans, but now they are significantly different from where we started off. So in due course of time, the amendments will be filed, for which approvals will be hopefully received.
Got it, sir. That helps. Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Tarun S. from Sanchay Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity once again, sir. As a follow-up, I wanted to understand both from a realization perspective and margin perspective, if not in absolute term, it is okay even if you give it into a exponential percentage term. What is the pricing difference between rifampicin and rifampicin, if you can?
So, you know, it's a very difficult one to say, because I mean, you can check the import data, and on the basis of that, you will see that rifampicin is priced at about anywhere between $450 to $500. And Rifam piston is priced at about $160 to $170. So this is the import data, without getting into what people are selling it at domestically, etc. But this is what the import data shows.
And the number that we are referring to would be per kg, right?
Yes.
450.
Per kilo.
Okay. And likewise, from a margin perspective, is it kind of
very difficult to comment on that, because everyone has different yields. It's a new product, so yields are different, the costing is different. There are lots of intricacies to it, so I would rather not comment on that.
Sure, fair enough. Also, just now you alluded about a significant capex which could be going beyond 200 crore that we have already communicated, maybe a sort of phase three. So, are we looking at funding this with internal accruals or some sort of debt or equity dilution, etc., that we are thinking about?
So, this capex is going to be over the next 3 years. Like we had planned about 2 years ago, what we will be doing for 3 years. Now we are planning from here on what we are going to do. So, from that perspective, obviously the numbers would change upwards. And some of it would be from internal accruals. But definitely we will be going for debt equity. We don't know whether it'll be debt or equity or it'll be a mix of two. We will decide over the next 6 months to 9 months which way to go.
Also, or on those new products, by any chance, are we going to apply for a PLI benefit or are we going to apply for a, say, Gujarat Biotech Promotion Board or incentive, etc., something which can aid on the funding side?
I already mentioned to the previous question that we are going for the local, that is the Gujarat government biotech promotion side. We have already applied for it, but we are not going for any PLI scheme, which is the central scheme which is there.
My reference was for this additional capex that we are talking about. So any of the products?
I'm referring to the same.
Okay. Got that. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Manoj Rajani, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, sir. So although most of my questions have been answered, so I just wanted to basically ask that, you know, there has been a decrease in our inventory cycle, you know, which has kind of resulted in a more favorable working capital cycle. So is this primarily attributable to the sale of the pent-up inventory, or, you know, does the company have a more sustainable working capital cycle? So just trying to understand the vision here.
So, you know, in fermentation, we don't stop manufacturing. It's a continuous manufacturing cycle.
Okay.
Each batch is a few days, so 10 to 12 days, maybe more. So on the basis of the same, we continuously produce, but in case the demand is less, we have to build up inventory. A year and a half or 2 years ago, we actually shut the plant for 3 months, but last year we did not, so inventory piled up. And the reason why we did not stop the plant is because we were anticipating demand to come in, which it did in the first quarter of this year. And hence, if the demand is slow, inventory will get built up, but we will continue to produce because we have a fair idea in terms of what the demand is going to be like, if not in this quarter or this month, then at least in the foreseeable future. So unless we see that the demand is really going down the foreseeable future, we would not shut the facility.
Fair enough. And so just coming back to, you know, the sales volume basically for Rifas and Rifau during the quarter, and what is the expectation for the full year?
So over the entire year, we would expect almost about 50-50 of both.
Okay.
But quarter to quarter, there may be a variation because one company, for example, wants to produce in campaign manufacturing basis, the other one wants to buy it at different times. So on the whole, the way we are seeing it is that it evens out.
Certainly. Yeah, fair enough. So, yeah, that's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, anyone who wishes to ask questions, you may please press star and one on your touchtone phone. We'll take the next question from the line of Supan Parekh, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello, hi. So I'd like to ask about your utility costs have increased year-on-year. So what do you expect, like, how would it be for the
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Pari, your audio is not clear. May we request you to use your handset, please?
Can you hear me now?
Yes, sir. Please
Yeah.
continue.
Yeah. So I just wanted to ask, like, your utility costs have increased year-on-year. So what are you expecting? Like, would it be the same or for the next few quarters, or what it could be?
So utility cost is essentially directly related to the power tariff. So if the costs are going up, it'll go up, and this is our biggest expense in our product, right? It's power, energy. So if the tariffs go up, it goes up. Because our consumption doesn't go up, it is essentially the prices that go up. So I think, like everyone else, we are planning for alternatives, but it is going to take time.
Okay. And also, like, the R&D expense, like, are we expecting it to be, like, increase, decrease, or will be on the same level for this financial year?
The R&D expenses will have ups and downs quarter and quarter. So, you know, when, as I explained again in one of the previous answers, that if there's a spurt of activity that is happening, the expense will go up, otherwise it should come down. But it is impossible to predict what will happen quarter and quarter. At this particular stage, when we are really going full steam in terms of development of products for the future. So for a long time, we were waiting for our R&D block to come up. Now that it is almost there, influx of people at the same time, things happening, materials coming in. So it's a bit of a action-packed time, if I may say so.
Okay. Okay. And the last I would like to ask is, like, the employee expense, which has, like, grew year-on-year, percentage of sales. So what is the reason for this?
Well, one is increments
Okay.
year on year. And the second part, of course, is now more people have come in order to be prepared for the infrastructure which is going to come up very soon.
Okay. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Saloni Himnani from Molecule Ventures. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Ms. Saloni, kindly proceed with your question, ma'am.
Hello.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So just a follow-up question on the new API plant. How many tons per month of rifapentin are we setting up for the phase one?
So I put it this way, that someone else asked this particular question. I said about 7 tons per month is what we will be able to produce. But I think, you know, as I give this particular number, it is going to be very flexible because it's a multipurpose facility. So you will be able to produce multiple APIs. If rifapentin is not there, you should be able to produce something else and so forth. I think what I can say is that the total capacity that we have built up is more than adequate for what we see in terms of tonnage, what is required from our own production of the rifa and rifa to be consumed over there.
Okay. So you're saying that apart from captive consumption, you'll have surplus capacity left for your refis, or it'll be 100%?
So my point is the API block is made in a way whereby we should be able to make rifapentin and other molecules, whether they are semi-synthetic or synthetic. So the capacity is built up as a multipurpose capacity, not thinking that we are going to produce only one particular product. But yes, if we have to produce rifapentin, this is what we can produce.
So this is the maximum that you can produce, right?
Well, you know what API business is like. You start off with a particular capacity, and you very much hope and try and make sure that it keeps on increasing as time goes and as requirement goes. So we'll see how it goes.
Okay. Okay, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Participants, to ask questions, you may please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Nikhil Arora, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yeah, hi.
Yeah. Thank you for the opportunity, sir. I just wanted to know, like, who is GTBL's top customer right now, and is there any risk, like, pertaining to customer concentration at present?
GTBL has got two key customers. One is Lupin and the other one is Optimus. And I think over the last few years, the relationship with both these customers has been reasonably good to ensure the continuous business that we've been able to do with both of them.
Okay. And sir, any new markets or countries which we are targeting for exports?
So with the new block coming up, new products coming up, etc., of course, we will be looking at the global markets, because the facilities that are coming up are as per global requirements and standards. We should be able to sell this in any and every geography of the world.
Okay, got your point, sir. And so one last thing, what is the current capacity utilization level?
The last year it was about 75 to 80% in the last financial year. In the current year, we are selling as we are producing.
So that would be roughly around the same range, 75-80, or?
No, almost about 100%.
Okay.
More than 100%, because we had inventory from last year.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir. That's all from my side, and all the best for the future.
Thanks.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I would now like to hand the conference over to Dr. Sachin Patel, Director, Kutras Semis Bioson Limited, for his closing remarks. Over to you, sir.
Thanks very much. So I'd like to thank the entire team of GTBL for their untiring efforts, hard work, and dedication, which drives the company forward through various market conditions. Also, I thank all of you for participating in our conference call. Please do get in touch with our investor relations team for any further questions. Thanks.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Gujarat MS Biosun Limited, that concludes this conference. We thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.